Bill Zortman, and with a few of our farm friends this hour, we'll get a lot to talk about, including with the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union, Doug Somke. Are you here?
I am here, Mr. Bill.
Well, and we got the national president. We got the national vice president. He's got a little tie to South Dakota, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's come from my neck of the woods, even.
And, of course, this is South Dakota Fair Week. What are you thinking?
You know what? I've never missed a state fair since I was 8 years old. You believe that?
Really?
That's true.
And you're 12 now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this will be my second. And it was kind of like, you know, this has got to be a great place for a fair here on South Dakota.
It is, man. I tell you what, it's the center of the state on the east side of the river, you know. But when you go population-wise, I'd say we're pretty much in the center of it all.
You guys got another fly-in scheduled. Lots of things to talk about in this hour, and we'd better get started. Doug has got lots to talk about. He's going to join me, and we'll probably talk a little bit about pipeline and I'm sure a few other farm things. And you guys have quite the meal up there, don't you?
Yeah, we have a farmer share meal every year. We've been doing that since we've been prime sponsors. And this year it's a $14 meal that is going to cost you roughly 40 cents.
Craig Shoneman, eminent domain panel. Let's talk a little bit about that. Craig, are you out there?
Yes, I am, Bill.
Well, Doug's sitting right here. You guys get started, and I'll just lead the band. How's that?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Hey, Mr. Shoneman, how you doing today?
Good, Doug.
Say, I did talk to you earlier this morning, so I know you're better than good. You usually give me a padded answer. I didn't hear it this time.
Every day of my life's a great day.
There we go. Hey, can you give us a little update on what's happening up there? I know, we had this forum at the state fair or county fair last week. We're going to do it at the state fair this week. What are you hearing from the countryside in your neck of the woods and from some of the others in the coalition?
You know, Doug, I think everything's probably, first of all, the forum at the Brown County Fair sponsored by the Farmers Union was well attended. I would say there was probably 200 people there, good participation. And, you know, I think one of the things when you get out into the country and people that are landowners that aren't involved in the pipelines are beginning to realize that this is a bigger issue than just pipelines with eminent domain. And what I always say is the lack of landowner rights in South Dakota. And as we become or make people more aware of it, they become more aware that it goes beyond just these two pipelines currently that are trying to come into South Dakota.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I know some of the people that stopped me at the fair up in Aberdeen on Sunday, they were not aware that this was so personal and that it wasn't just with the pipeline and that it could happen to anybody, anywhere, and not just out in the countryside, but in town, too. So it was quite enlightening, and I think that's one of the things we're going to need to continue to reach out to people like those in Aberdeen and those in Rapid City and Sioux Falls and Brookings and other communities to make them understand that you need to be paying attention to what your legislators are doing on issues like this. I know you were a big part in testifying out during the legislative session on House Bill 1133. Craig, can you give me just a little thought what you think is going to happen this next year and maybe what we should continue to propose to the legislators?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, Title 49 deals with all the utilities, and one thing we learned from the last session is, you know, you have those public utilities, your water lines, your power lines, and these pipelines are thrown all under the same title, and they probably need to be separated out, so they're dealt with separately, and that's the first thing that needs to happen. Secondly, I think as Farmers Union and other farm organizations, we just need to educate not only the legislators, but the general public in what's happening out there. And that it's an educational process. And that's why these forums are important at the county fair, the state fair. And I think as people become more aware and educate themselves, and I always tell them, you're going to hear my opinion, but take the time to form your own opinion and educate yourself. And I think that's the important part is I think we have some movement out there in the legislature, especially in the House side. We have good support. We just need to nudge that a little bit in the Senate side. And, you know, I think that's just going to be an educational effort on the landowners.
Okay, one last thing I'd like to ask you, Craig. You know, there's been a push for a special session. South Dakota Farmers Union has taken the position that that's probably not the best answer. It's more that we should take pressure on the governor on a moratorium. What do you think of that approach, and what are you hearing from others?
You know, I think the governor needs, she is the leader of the state, and she needs to take the lead on this. I think it's important that she even make a request to PHMSA or the national or Congress to put a moratorium on these pipelines, you know, until those safety standards are in place. And they're not going to be in place till 2024. You know, Doug, you and I, when we were in 4-H and taking safety classes, it's always better to be safe than sorry. And when you put a pipeline in this, I mean, if it's a year later and we're safe, we're certainly going to be a heck of a lot better off down the road if they do go through. So I think it's important that the governor take the lead. I understand the legislature not wanting to go into special session, but I really think there's some things that the governor can do for us out there.
Craig Shoneman, we're going to be talking more when we're at the fair on Friday, 9 to 11. Looking forward to visiting with people about the pipeline, all that's involved, and seeing you again. Craig, thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and look forward to seeing you at the State Fair.
Now, we have the president and vice president of the National Farmers Union. Well, I've got the president and vice president on the phone this morning. Rob LaRue, are you with me?
Absolutely. Good to be with you, Bill.
Do you want to introduce your vice president?
Absolutely. It's South Dakota's own. Our National Farmers Union vice president is Jeff Kipley.
You guys are spending a lot of time on the road in the Midwest. You're at a farm show today or at a farmers meeting in, is it Indiana?
Yeah, we're in Indiana for the next couple of days here, and then we'll be moving on up to Illinois, doing a combination of things, Bill. You know, first of all, it's a great time to just get out and see conditions, you know, on the farms at a lot of different places, talk to farmers, get to hear kind of what's on their mind. And so we really like to, as we call it, kind of do a road show out here and, you know, get Farmers Union a message out there. But more than important than anything is hear from folks themselves.
Well, you're going to those states, but I think you're also coming to South Dakota, as I understand.
Absolutely. I love the South Dakota State Fair and look forward to a couple of panel discussions coming up this Saturday. It ought to be good.
Jeff Kipley, you get to travel with the brass. You are the brass. You represent us. So what do you think you're going to learn on your road trip?
You know, I think the road trips, we always learn what farmers are needing, what issues are out there in the countryside, and that really helps our GR team take it to the hill in D.C.
So for those people that are sitting there saying, I wonder what these guys really think are priority, Rob, what is the priority in agriculture as we speak this week?
Well, it's, you know, one way to really kind of narrow it down right now is profitability. And that obviously goes up and down as the market changes and so forth. But as we look at this next farm bill, and whether you're a young producer or you've been in it for a while, you know, are the conditions right for you to even have a fair shake at getting, you know, a shot at having a decent margin and profit to keep doing what you're doing? So a lot of the issues, whether we're talking about concentration that we've been talking about for a long time, issues surrounding kind of fairness for farmers, or we're talking about making sure that young farmers have even a shot to get into this business. Everybody talks about the fact that we need to do more and more to make sure that we can get beginning and young farmers into this. We really need to make sure that we're not just talking about it, that we're actually following through on action, because, you know, in a generation, agriculture is going to look really different, but we want to make sure that that next generation of farmers is ready and has a good shot at being able to keep their families in those communities and producing food for the American people.
Jeff, how do you think we're doing in South Dakota with what he talked about?
You know, I think there's definitely room for improvement. it's extremely hard for a beginning farmer to jump in to farm a full-time job right now, and we need some more aid there for those beginning farmers, whether it be even further reduction on crop insurance for the first couple of years. Tax credits come through if you rent your land to a beginning farmer, maybe you pay less tax. So there's things that we can do to get this done.
Is there agreement out there as you travel the states? Do they agree in the Dakotas with what you will talk about in Indiana and Illinois?
Well, on the one hand, Bill, you know, I think if you got 10 of us farmers in a room, we'd probably have 10 different opinions on a lot of different things. But the fact is that we have a lot of agreement on things like being able to make sure this next generation can step in there. And, you know, just following off on what Jeff was just talking about, I can't tell you what a blessing it is and what an incredible resource it is for us at Farmers Union to have Jeff, who does farm taxes and so forth, and really understands, you know, what it takes to get things done, the challenges out there. That really helps us as we go out and talk about all of these issues. But we certainly have a lot of agreement on the challenges and the barriers. And now if we can just get Congress, hopefully, to come together and do enough agreement that we can get a farm bill through that's worth something, then I think we'll be in good shape.
What do you think that chance is? Slim and none?
It's not looking pretty right now, Bill.
You know, I've been through a lot of farm bills, Bill, and I know you have too. And each one always has its own set of challenges, and it always looks really bleak. It seems like, you know, we're never talking about, you know, a sure thing on any kind of year. This year certainly is particularly tough. I'm still hopeful that we're going to get a farm bill done, certainly not on time, which is coming up into September, but by the end of the year, I think we have a fair shot at that. If we go into next year, I tell you, I think we're in for a heck of a ride of trying to get this thing done in the middle of a presidential election as well.
Kipley, you're the tax expert. I want to ask Rob a question on that, but how are our farmers doing with their taxes and all the things that are confusing them right now and taking their money?
You know, last year, farmers had a pretty good year. Now with the prices drop here recently, we'll see what comes out. We had a higher input cost this summer than we did a year ago. The cattle side does look a little bit better, looks to be a little bit of a bright spot. So I'm hoping that that holds through for these ranchers. They've had a long haul of below production prices, and we're hoping that this is the year that they can really make some hay.
Well, the least I can do is officially welcome Rob LaRue back to South Dakota as she comes in for the state fair. You said you'd be here by Saturday, so people should look for you. And
absolutely.
He's the little guy, you know, little guy that comes in. Got a little North Dakota in you, too, is that, I remember right?
Yeah, this is I love this part of the country, and I tell you, I love coming to the state fair, particularly on Farmers Union Day. You've got that farmer share meal that it's the best deal at the fair for sure, and folks can get a real shot not just at a good meal, but also learn a little bit about what farmers actually get from that food dollar out there that they spend. So I'll be around, looking forward to a lot of conversation. We'll have a lot of good folks there. Certainly the South Dakota Farmers Union leadership with President Doug Somke. We'll also have USDA Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau, no stranger to that part of the country, and looking forward to it, though.
Jeff Kipley, Rob LaRue, appreciate that. Travel safely, and we'll see you back in South Dakota.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
And speaking back in South Dakota, Candy Briley is going to get us set for the state fair, the Quiz Bowl, the rookie team. We're going to listen to a little bit of them and how they're prepping and the other three teams at Better Word. Candy, it's either play the music or let you talk, and I think we're going to let you talk. You're down to virtually hours. What do we got before the start?
Yeah, you know, that's good. Good morning. You know, yeah, we are just before the fair. Tomorrow's Channel Seeds preview day, so we're certainly looking forward to it. There's a lot of activity out in the fairgrounds today. I was just out at the grandstand. The Tough Hedeman bull riding crew is getting the grandstand set up, and vendors are buzzing around getting things set up because tomorrow afternoon things will officially kick off on preview day. And I should mention today is the first day of the open class beef show being held in the deck. So that's very exciting. And that rolls into tomorrow as well. So we're almost the opening day. So the excitement is definitely building.
All right. We haven't got a lot of time. We got all these people that are long-winded in the show, you know, including me. But we need you to talk quickly about entertainment, the food, the building, where to get the best meal value of the whole fair week.
Yeah, you know, the State Fair is such an experience. We have six stages of free entertainment, a wide variety on all of the stages. We have grounds entertainment, plenty of shopping opportunities in all the buildings, plus all of the great outdoor activities. Farmers Union has their trailer on 3rd Street where they have some different activities happening, so people should check that out. Really delicious food. All of the food vendors have their own really great deals that they have, so make sure you find your favorite one and check them out. But everything packaged into one. Great experience here at the fair. Great value with all that entertainment I mentioned. We have great grandstand lineups. Make sure you go to sdstatefair.com. Buy your gate admission tickets in advance. You save on your gate admission. That offer is good through tomorrow. And then also buy your grandstand tickets in advance. You get gate admission included on those tickets if you buy them before tomorrow evening. So a lot happening. Go to, again, sdstatefair.com for a full schedule of events, or download the app and you can have the fair schedule at your fingertips.
All right, Candy, we're going to talk to you a little bit more tomorrow, but we want to have a little sample of the Quiz Bowl kids. And this is the rookie team, and we're going to take 3 or 4 minutes of them, but we'll talk with you tomorrow, Candy.
That'll be fantastic. Thank you.
Well, in South Dakota, there are 4 FFA chapters that have qualified for the Farmers Union Farm Safety Quiz Bowl, which is September the 2nd. And one of those, as they kind of were explaining to me, were thrown in at the last minute, Kelsey Roberts and Ty Olson from Woolsey Wessington. So I'm not sure who wants to answer first, but this is a quiz bowl. You guys have decided. So what have you been doing to prep for the September 2nd event?
Well, our teacher gave us a website that shows different, like, information about questions that we could be asked. So we've been looking through that, and then we've been doing a couple quizlets that show quiz bowl questions and going through those and then talking with our instructor about it.
Kelsey Roberts, Ty Olson with us this morning. And again, you're up against Gettysburg Kimball, Platt Gettys, and those schools seem to think that they have some of the answers. But I have a hunch that you guys are doing a little work, too.
Oh, just a little.
So what have you already learned that regardless of what happens on September 2nd, that you're in a position that you're going to get something out of it regardless?
Well, we learned that as long as we work together as a team and each of us take a question and stuff and put in our time studying, that no matter the outcome, that we will be okay and that we made it that far, and we've learned quite a bit to make it that far.
Ty, from your side, what are you thinking?
I think that we've been kind of splitting up what we study so we don't all know the same thing, because we're not going to know what questions they ask. So if we all kind of study a little different areas here and there, kind of just, if you know it, answer it real quick.
Well, as Doug Somke talks about, this is an important thing, because we want people to study. We want people to understand that having accidents can be devastating. And if you guys not only do real well in the quiz bowl, but you've learned something, you may save a life or two.
Yeah, definitely.
So what did they have to do to convince you guys that you ought to be a part of the quiz bowl?
They didn't really have to convince us very much. We kind of just got told, hey, quiz bowl's coming up. If you guys want to do it, let me know, and I'll put you in it real quick.
So we just decided we may as well because it's something different and we're learning from it. So to give it a shot.
Way more fun than our other competitions that we're in out there.
Well, and that's the point I would make. It can be a lot of fun, but you've got a reason to want it to succeed, and you want your school to succeed competing against these other three.
Yeah.
Now, my guess is you guys are a competitive school. You really look for ways. If you're going to practice, you're going to practice whether it's studying safety quiz information or kicking a football or doing anything that might be, you know, where it gets to show the school colors. And if you guys can show what you can do this year, my guess is those that come up next year will say, hey, we appreciate Kelsey and Ty and the team showing us how to do this and learn more in the future.
Yeah.
If you will, give us some answers that kind of share why it's important, and they're going to judge you on not only content but sincerity. So if you will, Ty, as you talk about this, be sincere about why this is important to your communities.
Why this is important, we have quite a few farms around our area where we live, and safe knowing the proper way to do stuff is very crucial around here because otherwise accidents do happen, people get hurt.
So do either of you know of an accident that's happened in your neighborhood and your school district that maybe if they had been in the safety quiz, it could have been avoided?
I think there has been a few tractor accidents, or they have, like, tipped a tractor in some.
Well, what do you think? Quiz Bowl, it's going to go on. You believe in this.
Absolutely. You know, I happen to have a neighbor that lost their child because of a farm accident, and farming is, and family farming especially is the most dangerous occupation for a family to be in. And this is important. This is important for the kids to know and to understand and to realize the importance of safety, and also for their parents and for others to realize, you know, what farmers live with every day.
Well, what's to come? We're going to have the Farm Family of the Month. They're out of Lincoln County. We'll have the Leopold Award winner. And we're going to talk with Laura Edwards, a state climatologist. She's going to tell us, is it going to be hot? We're going to be able to get the crops going? Where are we going? All a part of our Farmers Union Show. Welcome back. South Dakota Farmers Union Show. President Doug Somke, you still here?
I am.
We did meet another president, Rob LaRue. He's a good friend, isn't he?
He's a pretty good guy.
And how about this guy from South Dakota that's the national VP?
Yeah, Jeff, he does a good job. He's not only good with the Farmers Union and with his family, but he's on the Brown County Fair Board and does a good job there. And his wife's the manager of the fair, so
ooh,
go there, yeah.
Well, and it's important that we have a lot of families in the Farmers Union, and we're going to meet a Farm Family of the Month, and they're out of Lincoln County. Time to visit with our South Dakota Farmers Union Lincoln County Farm Family, making the stop this month as the Farm Family of the Month. And I've got Jason and Bridget that are with us, and we're going to talk a little bit about the tweets and all that you guys have done and all the storylines. You could go on for hours, but they said you get 7.5 minutes. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
That sounds great.
If you will, Jason, tell us a little bit about the family, what happened, and how you guys got in the business in 2015.
We had a couple of brothers, George and Larry Young, offered us to rent their ground and get us started in farming. And they wanted a young couple to come in and farm their ground and, I guess, take on their legacy that they started in the 70s and before that with George. And we work side by side with those guys just about every day because they still live on the places and we get to utilize their place. And we work out a contract for deed on the equipment. So they made it kind of foolproof for us to succeed in farming as young producers.
Well, now you guys have it really set up the best way. Merrill, Iowa, Beresford, South Dakota. You guys want to make it work, and you think that farming is an operation that's viable.
Yes.
So tell us why. Not everybody would agree with that. There are lots of things that have people turning their head the wrong direction, but this is a family thing for you guys.
Yeah. I mean, the kids work with us hand in hand every day, less school, but they're out there doing their stuff and help us with cattle work and field work. And my father helps us as well. My dad and I are split the farming 50-50, and we work together and kind of been a dream of dad and I's. And I always say, if you want something bad enough, in due time it all work out, and you just got to be in due diligence to learn new ways and find new avenues to make things work to go your way.
You credit Beef South Dakota as being a key factor in all of this process.
Yes. That opened up our eyes to many different avenues of the ag spectrum on ways to go about things. We, in essence, hear too much that sometimes the grandfathers and fathers are stuck in a traditional way, and BFSD, in essence, helped us look at it and find different avenues. And we talked with a lot of young producers, because it was a program that was developed for producers that were going into the business with 10 or less years experience. So we had a lot of young, 23 of us, and most of them were couples that were transitioning into the family farm. We weren't so much, but it helped us communicate with people that have family farms. And like these guys, they didn't have any kids that were interested in farming at that time, and so they offered it up to us, and we took advantage of it, and we all came to a common ground and visited quite a few meetings in order to hash all the fine details out. But in the end, it's been a heck of a relationship to go forward on.
Bridget, we need you to talk about you and Cassandra, what you've done and how you guys bring a lot to the table as well.
I think with my background on the family farm as well, we brought some different eye-opening, I guess, to ourselves and to our business to be able to make decisions and change up some of those things that we saw and that we think thought can become better.
The Tweed family. And you were saying, much as they did down in Lincoln County, that's how you guys get started.
Yeah, you know, back in those days, it was hard to find young farmers to take over what the older farmers wanted to get out of. And farming was tough. I mean, you weren't making much money, if you made any. And if you were willing to work, you know, you could pick up a lot of land here and there. And that's kind of how we got started.
Now, we got this Mike Strands guy with us. Tell us a little bit about the fly-in and why that's so important.
Yeah, so Mike is he's the lead guy on our government relations, and he's from Wisconsin, so we won't hold that against him. But
oh, no.
He's a pretty good guy for that being a fact. But, yeah, so the fly-in is a big deal for us. It's one way that we really touch base with our legislators, our congressmen, and our membership tells their story. I mean, that's what we go out there and do, and tell our story, and it's wonderful. It's a great way to get our message across.
All right, Mike Strands, tell your story, please.
Hey, guys, and hey, everybody. Yeah, well, I am in Wisconsin right now, you know, enjoying some high-quality cheese and, you know, some good football, that sort of stuff. But we're getting ready for the fly-in, and it's just in a couple weeks, September 11th through the 13th, and we expect a good crowd of a few hundred farmers, union members, to come to the nation's capital to deliver those stories, like Doug mentioned, and the messages that Farmers Union stands for to these members of Congress. There's not a lot of time left for Congress to, well, do a couple things. One, pass a budget or pass an appropriations bill to keep the government open, and to pass the farm bill before it expires. Both of those have deadlines at the end of September. Now, there's a couple ways around the farm bill situation where it may expire, but effects aren't felt immediately. But the government shutdown piece is certainly real. So it's going to be a busy September in D.C. and a critical time for family farmers and ranchers to speak up.
So, Mike, we've had the Fairness for Farmers campaign going on for quite a few months now, and you're getting a lot of attention, especially for things like right to repair and such. Really proud of the work that we're doing. We're starting to see some action in some of the states. I know Colorado passed the state law. What's it looking like for other states, and maybe can we get something that, if not in the Farm Bill, some other legislation?
Absolutely. Right to repair has been one of the shining examples of what farmers and ranchers can do to speak up and see some action. Through the Fairness for Farmers campaign, Farmers Union's been successful in advocating for getting farmers the right to be able to repair their own equipment. And we saw a big win in Colorado earlier this year. We've seen progress in places like Nebraska, in Michigan, in Montana, and even at the federal level, too. Maybe not with legislation, but just a couple of weeks ago, we got clarity from the Environmental Protection Agency that claims by the equipment manufacturers that if they allowed individual farmers the right to repair their own equipment, that that would violate the Clean Air Act. And EPA said that's baloney and has pushed back against it and said that, in fact, to better comply with the Clean Air Act, equipment manufacturers ought to allow the right to repair to family farmers and ranchers. So those sorts of wins from, in this case, the letter from the EPA, shows that our message is being heard by not just members of Congress, but throughout government. And this idea that we need to capture more market power as farmers and ranchers, individuals working together to push back against the multinational corporations that dominate so much of our economy, it's really taking off. So we'll be highlighting Fairness for Farmers priorities in the Farm Bill during this upcoming fly-in, amongst other priorities.
So what are we doing for livestock in the Fairness for Farming? Mike, can you give us an update there?
Sure. So there's a, just like a football game, there's two sides of the ball here, offense and defense. So we're playing offense on livestock issues by pushing for the Cattle Price Discovery and Transparency Act, the Meat and Poultry Special Investigator Act, and pushing ahead on bringing back mandatory country of origin labeling. Those first two bills I mentioned, Cattle Price Discovery and Meat and Poultry Special Investigator, both of those saw some progress in the last Congress, so in 2021 and 2022, and that serves as a good marker for what Congress ought to do in the Farm Bill. We want to make sure that we don't have opaque, dark markets where the prices for cattle or livestock are being set in general. So that's what the Price Discovery and Transparency Act would address. And also the Meat and Poultry Special Investigator Act would help bring more enforcement and oversight in those markets. And finally, of course, country of origin labeling, the ultimate in making sure that consumers know the origins of the meat they're buying, is just such a common sense thing that's been pushed back over the years.
All right. I've got news people that just say this country of origin thing just never makes any sense. It never gets done, but it's always a big issue. What is the story with that? Is there something that will get done, or will it never get done?
Well, we've gotten it done before, and that gets to this point about we've got to play offense and defense when we're talking to Capitol Hill. And the fact that country of origin labeling worked for 6 years and that consumers wanted that information, and they had it, but the fact that the multinational meat companies didn't want that out there, and they teamed up with some of our competitors in Mexico and Canada, went to show that the power of the dollar behind a lot of this showed that country of origin labeling could get pushed back. I think we can do it again, and I know that President Doug Somke thinks we can too. And we got to keep speaking up. It can get done. We've done it before.
And we got stronger voice now too, Mike. I mean, not only from National right. Farmers Union, but other organizations and consumer groups have joined us. And so we're making some big strides. I really think that the whole WTO issue that caused this to be taken out of the Farm Bill in the first place was, again, like you said, a hoax. And I think we can we've definitely proven that. And with this lawsuit that we have in place, I'm pretty sure that we will get something done here within the next few years.
One of the places where we're playing defense as well is to protect the Packers and Stockyards Act in the Farm Bill. The opponents to fairness for farmers are lining up to try to roll back some important rules that the Biden administration is putting out. We need to protect that process so that we can have better enforcement of the Packers and Stockyards Act. So that's where we've got some defense to play, too.
Well, Mike, you know, I'm just glad you're where you are. I mean, I've known you for a long time, since you were a pup. And you really
even Wisconsin,
even from Wisconsin, I'll give him some credit. I'll tell you what, he knows more than dairy. I can tell you that.
Thanks, Doug. It's always a pleasure and an honor to speak up when we need to speak up and to help others do the same. So
we appreciate you, even if it's Wisconsin. I've got a nephew over there, so everything's okay. Just don't like the Badgers.
Thanks, Mike.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Still to come, the Leopold Award winner and Laura Edwards. Welcome back. We have the Leopold Award winner with us. Bill Slovic, is that correct?
Yes.
That's a big conservation award, and Doug was trying to give me the language as to what this is all about. How would you tell the story, Bill?
Well, it's the Sand County Foundation. You guys were talking about Wisconsin. I think it started out there, and they started this program where they recognize people that they think are doing a good job in conservation. And currently, I think they're up to doing what they did in South Dakota in 27 states. So they're around finding conservationists and doing a good job of telling their story. And that's kind of one thing that we're not real good at in production agriculture is telling our story. So I think they're doing a real service, and it was an honor to be selected.
You know, Bill, we're very proud of what you guys have done in your family. I know your family history and is quite a legacy, honestly, in your area. And, you know, starting out with your father and to you, can you maybe share us a little bit about what it was like following your father's footsteps?
Well, it's crazy how much things have changed in one generation. You know, back when he was a kid, I can remember things like it was a big deal when we got a comfort cover on a tractor. Or if we got a radio mounted on the fender, you know, we thought we were right uptown, and we had little square baler, little round baler. I mean, everything was so much more physically harder. And, you know, there's good times and bad times. Dad, he never was a go-to-a-meeting type person, but he didn't get into rotational grazing, but he never overgrazed. And a lot of that was, back then, it was trouble having water everywhere. And we were fortunate to have West River Lyman Jones come through our part of the country. And we're to the point now, I've been working a lot with Equip. And over the years, I think we've got about 30 miles of pipeline and 120 tire tanks scattered around. So we've got probably as good a water as you can get, and our cattle drink the same water that we do, and so it was a lot harder for those people physically. And you know, we didn't have gravel roads until the missile bases come in back in the 60s, and they graveled all our roads for us. So I mean, if it rained, you didn't go nowhere out in Escumbel, and it's just a whole different world.
You know, you talk about the water, Bill. Isn't that the truth? I mean, if it hadn't been for rural water development, you know, and what, you know, the past senators like Senator Johnson, he worked very hard at that for all of us, and Senator Thune has done the same thing. You know, it's really helped a lot of us, and it's something we should always cherish. And, you know, we're going to have to start considering protecting that, aren't we?
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing is it's – crazily cheap, too. I mean, compared to everything else, I think we're paying the same as we did back when we first got it, whether it was 20 or 30 years ago. And it's good water. And, yeah, we got – if back in them some of them dry years, if it wouldn't have been for real water, there probably wouldn't have been 10% of the cattle in Aachen County still around. It was just – the dams were dry, and if they weren't dry, they were mud, which is probably worse than dry. And now people got water everywhere, and not just water, but really good water. So it was a huge boom for this part of the state.
Well, we sure congratulate you on your award. I mean, it's something that you should really cherish because it is a very coveted award. And a nice little prize package of $10,000 too, right?
Yeah, and I think we're probably going to set that aside in a CD and become a sponsor for the South Dakota Leopold Award and help keep the ball rolling.
Wow, I'm impressed. Bills do that, don't they?
Yeah, it's you know, it's the right thing to do, and I think the biggest honor of all this is joining the alumni with the past winners. There's some great people and some great operators, and just to be able to have your name alongside of them is really cool, and we all need to do our part to keep the award going and see if we can make it even bigger and better. So it's been a real ride and a real lot of fun.
Bill, we congratulate you, and hope to get to come shake your hand someday soon.
We'll do that.
All right, Laura Edwards, South Dakota State climatologist. We've got a fair that's coming up. We got lots of football games, Labor Day weekend. What do you have to say for yourself, climatologist?
You know, it's going to be pretty toasty out there this weekend for the holiday weekend. And looking at highs again, close to 100 degrees, you know, Huron, where the state fair will be on Sunday, high of 99 is the forecast right now. And I was really hoping after last week we'd be kind of done with the, you know, three-digit highs. But we could be getting real close here over the weekend. And as we always say, when you're spending time outside, please try to stay cool, get in the shade, stay hydrated. Please, do take care of yourself when you're out there.
We got Doug Somke here, and he's a little concerned about the crops that are out there. What can you do to help the crops?
You know, I don't know that there's a lot I can do right now, and I agree, you know, August moisture, precipitation is really important, especially for soybean yield. I think the corn yield is pretty much set. You know, we can't do a lot about that now, but August rainfall can really help soybeans, but, you know, between last week, this week, and looking at the forecast for the next 2 weeks, does not look like a lot of opportunity for moisture, and the heat is adding on top of that. So I wouldn't be surprised we're taking kind of the top end off of some of those soybean yields, and they could be starting to dry down. I know some of those soybean fields are starting to yellow and get to, you know, starting to shut down for the season. So, I'm a little bit concerned on the soybean yield, given how tough of a start we had, too, in a lot of parts of eastern South Dakota.
Yeah, Laura, I was out in the pasture here this last week, and boy, the flies are getting bad, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And the mosquitoes up here in Aberdeen area, you know, we had some rain a couple weeks ago, and that was just recent enough, and the mosquitoes are flying like crazy. But in general, on the agriculture side, insects are kind of winding down now this time of year, and so hopefully they're going to go away soon. But I do not expect at this point especially early frost. So those insects might have a little extra time here this fall to hang around.
Well, you know what? We may not get an early frost, but with that warm weather, I got a feeling the beer gardens are going to be really popular at the fair, Bill.
You think? Laura, it sounds like he's experienced.
Yeah, he knows how to handle the heat. I think it's a fair.
You do what you have to do. Laura, we appreciate you today and always appreciate what you do as a state climatologist.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right. We're in our last minute. What do you want to summarize by saying?
You know, the fair's coming up, and actually the fair's been going on for a few days. One thing we didn't mention when we had Candy on is that the open class sheep barn, you know, that was taken down when the decks building needed to be put in, and they still haven't built the new barn. So the open class sheep have been going to the fair the last 2 years now early. And hopefully we change that pretty soon so they can participate and show their exhibits, because we got some, you know, I guess I'd say nationally known livestock in the sheep business. Get some major flocks that have been around for many, many generations that need to be represented and exhibited and for everyone to see.
There'll be some people in South Dakota say, why have the fair in Huron? What would you tell them, Doug?
Just because it's where it's always been, and the state has the ground, and why move it now?
Well, I appreciate you being with us. You're going to join me Friday.
I am.
You're going to keep me in line.
I'm going to keep you in line, and if you're good, I'll take you to the beer garden.
Ooh! Well, I don't have to drive back. Dave has to do that. I can just kind of enjoy after the show. Doug, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Farmers Union Show, we appreciate you being with us. For now, our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at Kello.